All right. Good evening, everyone. Can you hear me? Is it loud enough? Am I on? Hello? Hello? Am I on? I wasn't here. I should have been here earlier for a sound check. Sorry, Sam. So, yeah, this is kind of different, right? So, you know, earlier today I was talking with someone about tonight and what I was going to talk about and why was I going to talk about this, and I realized that person was me. So I answered myself and I said no. So tonight I'm not reading a portion of scripture. I'm just it's kind of topical. I titled it "Make Me a Servant and My Gifts." So using our gifts so that we can be servants of the Lord. I think what kind of prompted some of this stuff is that in our home group, we've been going through, or we had gone through two projects. One was the engagement project, but now we're going through Chuck Smith's book, The Final Act, and it's just about the last days. And I think with all that we see going on in Russia and like that, it does make you think. You know, we've heard from bygone days, our great-grandma's grandma, great-grandma's grandma said Jesus is coming back like tomorrow or next week. And so we've heard that so many times. And I think we kind of get a little desensitized to that fact, that we're not setting our gaze to heaven and looking for his coming. So part of this is just using our gifts, and because the time is now, the time is short. So here we go. I don't usually do this. I want to say that again. So yeah, there'll be a part in here. I think it's kind of ironic and funny, but so what I hope to cover tonight is what are my gifts of service? Where do I use my gifts of service? And we should make ourselves known. That's another something I want to talk about. And why is it important to step up to use our gifts of service? So, you know, we all have gifts that vary. Some are up front, you see them. Others are behind the scenes. But, you know, in God's eyes, they all have equal value. God loves every little detail of where our gifts are and how we serve. Paul talks about that in Romans. He talks about us being the body of Christ and all our members being as one. And that's all those who have the gifts throughout the church. So Romans chapter 12, verse 4. For just as each of us have one body and many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If the gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then give encouragement. If it is giving generously, or if it is giving, give generously. If it is leading, do it with diligence. If it is showing mercy, do so cheerfully. So you think about where we would be as a church if we didn't have some of these people serving in the church. I just think, you know, sound people. If we didn't have sound, you couldn't hear me right now. If we didn't have the setup. I know there's certain people in this church that do a setup every Sunday. And I came from a church where it was out of a trailer, and I know this church is blessed in the way that you have places that you can store things and just bring them out. With us, it was like pack it into a trailer and drive it away. So there's a lot of places where people serve that create the body of Christ and makes us all one in Christ. So we do need each other. We do need each other. And I don't believe that God looks at titles in the church. I think in his eyes, we're all equal in our service to him through our gifts. Now, I do think that there is more accountability in some places, and I'll use Sam as an example. Sam is accountable to make sure that what he preaches from the pulpit is accurate, that he keeps us safe from false teaching. And, you know, and then the elders, it's their responsibility to make sure Sam's doing what he should be doing. So they're all very important. And there is more accountability in those. And even, you know, I'll put it in my genre, in the worship. I led worship for 25 years at the other church. And so I realized the importance of and the accountability of doing songs that don't just have a good beat, you know, like, oh, that song, I love that tune. But the words are like out in left field, you know. So I'm accountable. We are accountable as worship leaders, too, to make sure that the words we are singing are scripturally sound. So those different areas. Now, again, I will say that they are all, excuse me, in God's eyes, all our services, whether big or small, are of equal value to God. Hey, you're already on page 2. You know, the Lord wants us to serve him. He wants our motives to be love, you know, that we serve him because we love him. You know, if you recall, after Jesus had resurrected, that he met the disciples, and he saw them along the shore, and he yelled out to them and said, cast your net on the right side. And they did, and they brought in fish. And at that time, Simon Peter went, it's the Lord. And if you recall, right after that, they had sat down and they had breakfast. And Jesus said to Simon Peter, and this is in John 21:15. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, I do. Or he said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. And again, he said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, you know, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. So Jesus was emphasizing, serve me because you love me. May our service be that way. Now, so we ask the question, what are my gifts? What are my gifts of service? So there's no formula or definitive test that can tell us exactly what our spiritual gifts are. The Holy Spirit distributes the gifts as he determines. A common problem with Christians is the temptation to get caught up in our spiritual gifts, that we only seek to serve God in the area in which we feel we have been gifted. That is not how the Holy Spirit works. God calls us to obediently serve him in all things. He will equip us with whatever gifts we need to accomplish the task that he has called us to. So sometimes it's just hard to know. I mean, we all have obvious gifts that God has given to us of service, but you know, there's some hidden gems possibly. And you know, be willing to go in a different direction. Don't settle into comfort. Like for me, I could put a guitar in my hand and say, this is how I serve this church. And so just be willing to move in different directions. When I first met Sam, I told him about where I came from and what I did. You know, I led worship there, and I was an elder for 10 years at the other church. And I said, hey, Sam, but I don't teach. So you see where that got me. So here I am. So thank you, Sam, for testing the waters, for causing me to go a different direction, something I'm not used to. I'll tell you a quick story. I met, when we lived in California, we went to Greg Laurie's church. And that night, Sunday night, was they have music. They have music artists come in and play. And that night was Lenny LeBlanc. Now, some of you probably go, who the heck is Lenny LeBlanc? Lenny LeBlanc wrote some songs that you guys have all sung, I know. One of them being Above All. You know, above all powers, above all, crucified and lead. So I'd asked Lenny LeBlanc. I had a chance to meet him, and I wanted to do what he was doing. I wanted to do nothing but music and just to serve in this area, because I had, you know, played music with my brothers, and that kind of died down, and so I wanted to stay busy in doing that. And I had his full attention. He told me, be willing to give it up. That was his answer to me. And so it made me think, you know, we have to be willing to change, you know. Again, I'll go back to that. We may have gifts that you don't even realize you have. So in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul is talking to Timothy about his faith and reminds him to stir up his gifts. 2 Timothy 1:5. So, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, I'm persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gifts of God, which is in you, through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. To stir up our gifts. I love that. When I found that, actually my brother told me about this scripture because of my study, and I love that. To stir up your gifts, like blow the dust off, you know, some of those. And in the NIV it says to fan into flame. So you think of a fire, you know, when you're around a campfire and it's burning, and you fan it, and it breaks out into a fire, to a big flame. We're to do that. We're to stir up the gifts that God has us into flame. That's just cool to me. I don't know how it affects you, but maybe we have gifts that we're just not aware of. How will we know what gifts of service we have? One way is to spend time in His Word. It says in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. In Psalm 119:105, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So if you're looking to figure out what gifts you have of service, spend time in His Word. And He'll direct your paths. He'll, again, like I said earlier, that there's no definitive formula or test to find where your gift is. It's the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. But be willing to make changes. may be willing to go in a different direction. Okay, so where do I use my gifts of service? Hey, the whole world, right? Not just here, but in this church, not just in this city, this state, this country, but in the whole world. The Great Commission, Matthew 28. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So the Lord tells us that our area of service as individuals and as the church is the whole world. He doesn't just limit it here. So why do we hesitate? Why do we hesitate in serving sometimes? Maybe we go, well, that's already been covered. Somebody else is doing that, whatever that might be. It might be that that we don't want to go there. God calls us and we just say, no, I really don't want to go there. Like Jonah, right? You know how that ended up. He didn't want to go either. He went the other direction. So you might say, hey, I don't have the gift. Well, maybe you do. Maybe you just don't realize it. Maybe you just need to sit before the Lord and you know, I know it probably is not scriptural, but I always think, well, nothing ventured, nothing gains. You know, sometimes we should move. We should move. As we step out in faith, the Lord gives us the strength to be his witnesses. Acts 1:8. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me, or witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So God will give us the power. God will give us the strength to step out and go in those directions. Maybe something we've thought about for a long time, and maybe that was the Lord just talking a long time ago, that you should step up and maybe use this gift and go this direction. You might say, "I'm afraid." It's okay. It's okay to be afraid. It's okay to fear. But God will give us the strength again to be his witnesses. Sometimes we try to put God in a box and say, "Well, I'll tell you what, Lord, you show me a sign and I'll go." And the Lord says, "Go and I'll show you a sign." So sometimes he wants us to move, and move by faith. Chuck Smith, when they had the Harvest Crusade, the first time they had it at the Pacific Amphitheater in Costa Mesa, and it's a big venue, but it's not big. It's not like stadium big. And what I loved about Chuck Smith is that he was a man of faith. He said, "Well, you know, we had this thing like six nights or so, and it was packed every night. So next year we're going to Edison Field, where the Angels play baseball. I think it's probably called something different now." But so his attitude was, "Let's pursue it, and if God wants it, then it'll fall into place." So same idea, you know. We say, "Lord, show me what you want me to do, and I'll go." And he says, "Go, then I'll show you exactly what I want you to do." And even more so, we learn that as we wait on him. So, and real quick, I just wanted to say that in our home study group, we went through the engagement project. And that's you've heard of the Truth Project, maybe, a lot of you. It's taught by Del Tackett. He's with Focus on the Family. I encourage you guys to, if you have a home study group, to pick up the engagement project and go through that. It teaches you how to engage people. It teaches you how to step out and use your gifts and to serve others. So I encourage you to do that. All right, we're on page 4. This is awesome. We're moving right along. Sorry. So one thing I think is with the last days and just studying this book that we're going through in the last days and all the signs and what we're seeing in Russia that's going on is crazy, right? I think it's important that we make ourselves known. I think it's a tendency to just kind of settle into just the day-to-day life that we have, and again, forget that God is at the door. Prophetically, there's nothing that can happen. The last thing was Israel becoming a nation in 1948. There's nothing keeping the Lord from coming to redeem His church and to bring us home. So we should be looking with great excitement. So my thought in that is that we should make ourselves known. We should expect some resistance as we run the race. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome this world, John 16:33. So he says, expect it. It's going to happen. He says, you will have tribulation. I think no resistance in our life is not good. We need to have resistance. And to me, the enemy, the devil is very irritated with us when we step out and put our faith into action. So we should get some bombardment from our walks. We should expect that. It's healthy for us to make our walks known to our coworkers in our neighborhoods. It's healthy for us to do that. We should stand out. We should turn the world upside down, right? Acts 17. Paul and Silas, they turned the world upside down. They caused up quite a stir. They made a lot of people really irritated, I guess you might say. And I'm not saying that we should irritate people. I'm just saying our walks, we should cause a stir. We should cause a stir. Yeah. So sometimes God moves and He says, you know, I'm going to get you moving here a little bit. I'm going to get you underway. You've done pretty good, but I think we could do better as far as making you known in your neighborhood. So you know, me and Vivian play pickleball, and there's a big group in where we live, and there's like over 100 people in the pickleball group, and so it happens to be that we have stepped up and we're doing the children's worship, and it's been a great joy, such a blessing. And so we've done some songs that have some words in them that we thought, well, the kids are not going to maybe understand these, so we want to give them some understanding of these words that we're singing. So we were going to do that song, the victory chant. You guys remember that from a long time ago? Hail Jesus, you're my king. Yeah. Then hail, hail, Lion of Judah. So we thought, you know, the kids are not going to understand Lion of Judah. What's Lion of Judah? So we did some research and found this really good article and this good snippet on the Lion of Judah. And I thought, well, I'm just going to send it to Vivian so that we're on the same page. And I send it to the pickleball group. So everyone knows where I stand now. You know, there's no hiding now, right? So you've heard the saying that if being a Christian is a crime, maybe we all be found guilty as charged. Hopefully, we would do that. We need to make ourselves known. I think one of the greatest tragedies of COVID, I mean, the life's lost, that's it. I mean, that's definitely it. But one of the greatest tragedies of that is that a lot of people have been trained to stay home, trained to stay apart. instead of going to church. I know, and some people have very valid reasons, and I respect that. You know, but the fear is that this will become a way of life for some. You know, church on the TV. We need each other. We need to interact. We need to be social. For our spiritual health, we need that. In Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day of the Lord approaching. So we're admonished to not forsake our gathering together. It's very important. For our spiritual health, it's very important. All right. So another part of that is the concerns of this world hinder us from using our gifts. We get caught up in our day-to-day. And listen, this is not direct. I really actually meant for this to be encouraging. And I know it might sound like I'm kind of like fire and brimstone here. It's not. It's probably, when I said I talked to myself earlier, it was probably, this is generated from just looking at myself and saying, man, am I spending too much time doing things I shouldn't be doing, you know, as far as just useless time, you know, and be about the Lord's work. So the Greek, in the Greek, the word entangled is empelico, to weave, which literally means weave in and thus intertwine or interconnect closely by wrapping or twisting together, to be involuntarily interlaced to the point of immobility. So you think if we let this world entangle us in all the things that hinder us, I think the point of to the point of immobility, it's like we can become that way. I know this is supposed to be about gifts and serving, but the point being is that we hinder our serving the Lord and using our gifts by just kind of putting all those things on the back burner, you know. So let's get him to the front. Jesus needs to be in first place in our life, the first place in our lives. We need not let the cares of this world take our attention off the Lord, off finishing our race. In James 1:27, it says, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God and our Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, to keep oneself unstained by the world. That's pure religion, is to keep ourselves unstained by the world. Colossians 3:1 says, therefore, if we have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things that are above. Keep seeking things that are above, there where Christ is. Sorry. Seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not the things that are of the earth. So, again, we need to refocus, redirect our thoughts. All right. So why is it important to step up and use our gifts of service? Serving keeps us spiritually healthy. It keeps us accountable to the Lord, and I think it's important. I think it's a good thing to put yourself in a position, in a place in the church where the church is relying on you to be present. I think that's healthy, to have them need you to be there, because it gets you up and moving. One thing, me and Vivian are going to be celebrating our 45th wedding anniversary in October, which went by really fast, I'll say. But one thing we contribute to that is we've always, wherever we've gone, we've always tried to put ourselves in a position of serving, serving together. Plus Vivian's long suffering of 45 years with me, so that's part of it. But there's countless times I know that we've rejoiced in serving together and serving the churches that we've been to. And the new one is with the kids. It's been fun. I really enjoyed it. But I need to learn some of the songs from Andrew that he gave me. I need to learn some of those songs. I got a lot of these songs, I'm like, I don't know. Don't know that one. So put yourself in a place where the church is relying on you to be there. Eric has learned how to do sound. He's a great guitar player and tears it up. But he's put himself in a place where he's been running sound. He's learned to do that. So where the need was. So that's good. That's healthy for him to put himself in that place. Now listen, I know, again, I didn't mean... This hopefully is encouraging to you, and hopefully that this will cause you to want to stir up your gifts, to want to do more. That's my hope. There's joy in serving the Lord. There's no doubt about that. There's great joy. You think about any time that you guys have gone and done a service project at someone's home. Guys and gals, we all come out and we tear out a bunch of shrubbery that someone has that can't do it. And you go out and in one day you make their world just clean and perfect. Think about how you feel when you get home. You're tired, you're beat. That was a tough day. But think about how you feel when you lay your head on the pillow at night. It's just a great joy in serving other people, in serving the church, in serving those that have those needs. Isaiah 52:7 says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. How beautiful. That's the way God looks at service. Our service to him is how beautiful. So, wow, I've really got through this pretty quick. So just recapping, we all have gifts that the Lord wants to use. We spend time before him, but we will find those gifts. We should be willing to go in different directions and not just hold fast to the ones that we know we have talent in, but maybe go in a different direction. God will direct our paths and make ourselves known in our communities, in our workplace. I think it's healthy. It's healthy for us to do that. It'll cause us to become servants to the lost, to those that need Christ. We'll want to serve them. May God give us a heart for the lost. Oh, I missed that part. We should wear this world as a loose garment. I love this. I got to go back. I'm sorry. Oh, time is wasting away. Okay, so I love this definition. My brother's a teacher, and he's taught for many years, and I asked him, I said, I'm having trouble finding a scripture that, I've heard that phrase many times, like, to wear this world as a loose garment. And so I found a definition of it. It's just, what does wearing this world as a loose garment mean? It says, the world and life will always press on us and around us, but do not have to touch us lightly. So the world and life always presses at us and around us, but do not have to touch us lightly. Most things are either outside of our control or ultimately unimportant. Did you get that? Sorry, I'm not real articulate here. We're to wear it as a loose garment, that it may touch us, the world may touch us, but some of the things that we may get wrapped up into are outside our control and useless, have no value. So I like that. Sorry, I had to go back to that. So I'm going to wrap it up, but I want to read, Sam, well, like, Sam's like, hey, this is the last time you're going to do this. No. I want to read something, and this is from the devotionals that we have in the church. It's Our Daily Bread. This one was on February 15th, and it's called We Are One. We need each other, and I love this little story. So I'll close with this, and we'll pray. It says, in a small farming community, news travels fast. Excuse me. Several years after the bank sold the farm David's family had owned for decades, he learned that the property would be available for sale. After much sacrifice and saving, David arrived at the auction and joined the crowd of nearly 200 local farmers. Would David's meager bid be enough? He placed the first bid, taking a deep breath as the auctioneer called for higher bids. The crowd remained silent until they heard the slam of the gavel. Yeah. The fellow farmers placed the needs of David and his family above their own financial advancement. This story is about the farmer's sacrificial act of kindness, demonstrates the one way the Apostle Paul urges followers of Christ to live. Paul warns us not to conform to the pattern of this world by placing our selfish desires before the needs of others and scrambling for self-preservation. Instead, we can trust God to meet our needs as we serve others, as the Holy Spirit renews our minds, we can respond to situations with God-honoring love and motives. Placing others first can help us to avoid thinking too highly of ourselves, as God reminds us that we're a part of something bigger, the church. The Holy Spirit helps believers understand and obey the scriptures. He empowers us to give selflessly and love generously so we can thrive together as one. I don't know. I love that. I love the fact that there was 200 farmers there that all had money and not a one said a word. That's how we are to be. We are to look out for each other. And we are to use our gifts and our service for each other and for the Lord. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to pray and then we'll end with a song. Okay. Lord, thank you so much for the gifts that you do give us, Lord. You are so good and so gracious to us, Lord. We want to make an impact. We want to make a difference. Lord, I do ask that you would stir our hearts, that you would cause us to fan into flame, Lord, our gifts of service to you, that we would not be content with the status quo, Lord, that we would desire to do more for you. And Lord, I pray that you would cause us to look up. Lord, you're coming back. May we not forget that. May we not fall asleep. May we look up, Lord, with great expectation and great excitement of your coming. Lord, use us, I pray, and direct our paths. We love you, we praise you, and give us the strength to be bold, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.